Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Wednesday, May 22nd. Coming up today, we'll hear from South Thanet MP Craig McKinley. He's spoken out about having to have both hands and feet amputated after being diagnosed with sepsis. We'll also have reaction to the news that the latest legal challenge holding up the development of Manston Airport has been dismissed. But first, taking a look at one of our most read stories online today. A Sheppey woman has been fined £200 for littering after accidentally dropping some chips which were eaten by seagulls. Jacqueline Clark was approached by a council environment warden after eating a takeaway by the seafront in Sheerness. The 34-year-old was told she'd been caught on CCTV feeding the birds. She's spoken to the Kent Online podcast.
We got a McDonald's and we were sat in the back of Tesco car park after work, and I'd finished what I'd eaten, and I dropped a couple of chips on the floor, and birds, like seagulls, swooped down and grabbed the chips off the floor within like 30 seconds. And before I knew it, a law enforcement officer had come out behind the cars where he was hiding and gave me a £200 fine and said that I wasn't allowed to do that. He gave us no chance to apologise or explain ourselves. He got up in our faces and was aggressive and said that he needed our details, so I handed them over. There was no conversation about appealing it or anything. I just said, we can't afford a £200 fine. Like, what are we supposed to do? And he said it wasn't his problem that I was littering and you have a £200 fine for littering. If you pay it within like 14 days, it goes down to 150. But he didn't really give us any chance to do anything. He took down my details wrong as well, because he was being so aggressive about it. He didn't even listen to how my name was spelt. So it was a bit frustrating. I dropped a couple of chips and the birds ate them. There was no litter on the floor from us. The irony is that we were sat around so much litter, and we organise litter picks and stuff for a local group, a youth group. We volunteer for the community. I paid £20 to get all four of my wheelie bins emptied because the council wouldn't do it. We litter picked the street that we live down because the council had made so much mess with the rubbish. So it's very ironic that we've been fined. There was no litter left. We wasn't poisoning the birds. The birds came down and stole a couple of chips and they went on their way. We haven't affected the environment or anything like that.
Jacqueline mentioned the bin collections there. Just to confirm, there has been an issue with waste being taken away in Swale. A new company called Suez was given the contract earlier in the year. Council bosses have previously said they're working with them to resolve the issues.
Kent Online News.
The family of a man who went missing from Medway before his body was recovered from the North Sea may never know what happened to him. Liam Graham was last seen walking away from a car crash in Stoke Road last July. Investigators believe the 22-year-old was under the influence of drink and drugs and ended up in the Thames estuary, although they've been unable to piece together any more details. Liam's sister Holly spoke after yesterday's inquest.
As a family, we are truly heartbroken by the loss of our Liam. After months of suffering, looking for Liam, not knowing where he was and what had happened, we came here today hoping that this inquest would give us some closure, but we will never understand what happened that night to Liam or why or how he ended up where he was. We would like to thank the family, friends and members of the public who looked tirelessly for Liam day in and day out. We may feel let down by the professionals, but all that followed, helped on the searches, never stopped supporting our family to bring Liam home, and we couldn't have done it without you all. Liam, we miss you more than you know, and we would do anything to have one last hug, listen to your infectious laugh, or see your silly Fortnite dancing. We will forever keep you in our hearts and remember all those good times that you shared with us all. Lilies, we love you.
A teenager's been taken to London after being hit by a car in Maidstone. It happened on the London Road on the way to Allington yesterday afternoon. Their injuries are not thought to be life-threatening. A Rochester man has been jailed for supplying a pistol that was recovered from a minicab in southeast London. DNA evidence proved that Robert Redding had given the firearm to another man after it was found in a vehicle stopped by police in Sidcup in September 2022. The 50-year-old from Castle Street in Waltham has been locked up for 6.5 years. A Folkestone woman has been charged with being drunk and assaulted disorderly in public after police were called to Ashford Town Centre. Officers responded to reports of someone damaging cars outside the Lidl last Wednesday. 36-year-old Rhiannon Thomas, who lives in Ashley Avenue, has been released on bail and will appear in court next week. A Maidstone man who became aggressive towards a bar worker before racially abusing a man who tried to intervene has avoided being sent to prison. A court heard Nathan Gould had been drinking with friends at the Rose Inn in Bairstow last December when he became rowdy. The 44-year-old from Caser Drive in Kingswood has been banned from the venue for a year in order to pay compensation. Follow Kent Online on socials to see pictures of a man police are hunting after a theft in Canterbury. It's reported a diner left a restaurant in the borough without paying last Monday afternoon. Investigators have released CCTV images and want to speak to anyone with information. A man who went missing from Gravesend has been found safe and well. Police had released a CCTV image of 65-year-old Alan Shearing after he disappeared on Sunday. They've thanked everyone who helped with the appeal. And a convoy of motorbikes has completed a circuit of Brands Hatch in memory of a 19-year-old killed in a crash on the M25. Andrina Everett died last month after being involved in a collision with a car being chased by police across the Dartford Crossing. She's been honoured at the racetrack in West Kingsdown. The driver and passenger of the other vehicle have been arrested on suspicion of causing death by dangerous driving.
Kent Online News.
A Kent MP's revealed he had to have both arms and legs amputated after falling ill with sepsis. Craig McKinley was admitted to hospital last September and his family were told he had a 5% chance of survival. He spent 16 days in an induced coma. The South Thanet rep has spoken about losing his limbs in an interview on GB News.
Do you know how long you're in a coma for? Were you out for a bit?
I think they tried to take... I don't really know the full details, but, you know, in and out of lucidity. But I could see these things were probably lost. It was became obvious.
You couldn't move your fingers.
Oh, no, they were completely fixed. Fixed into a clenched fist, yeah. And toes, you could... I could move a couple of toes on my left leg. But there was sort of a little sign of life in them. Maybe they could have saved a bit of a foot. But my surgeon said, you are better off having them off because you can have prosthetics and you'll walk far better than having a partial foot.
Was there any moment at which the surgeons thought, I hope you remind me saying this, maybe Cotty knows more, that is it worth Craig carrying on? It's going to be a difficult life after this? Was there a choice to be made?
I don't think that ever happened to St Thomas's, but I think those conversations certainly happened at Medway in the early stages.
What happened?
Whether,
you know?
He ought to be on Do Not Resuscitate. Is it worth it?
You know, so the choice was
so serious.
You could have been left to die. And
yes.
There's a choice made by Cotty on your behalf not to die.
Yeah.
It's the first time he's spoken out since falling ill. He's been fitted with prosthetics and jokes that he's the first bionic MP. He's returned to Parliament today and received a rousing reception.
Before we begin Prime Minister's questions, I'm sure the whole House would like to join me in welcoming back our colleague, our friend, an inspirational, honourable member for South Thanet.
Yeah.
Craig, it's so good to have you back amongst us. You are the man of the moment, and I met your daughter, who is going to be the daughter of the moment with her birthday tomorrow. So can I say to you and your family, it is an inspiration to people in this country who have suffered with sepsis. You have shown us the way forward. Thank you for having me. And that's the only reason I allow clapping. Can also just to mention, we've got the Speaker of the Icelandic Parliament with us today and the Premier of the Cayman Islands. We now go over to questions to Prime Minister Jen Kitchen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question number one.
Prime Minister.
Mr. Speaker, I know the whole House will join me in remembering the victims of the horrific Manchester Arena bombing 7 years ago today. Our thoughts are with them and their families. And I'd like to pay tribute to Feagan Murray, who joins us in the gallery, for her courage and her bravery of her campaigning in her son Martin's memory. And I look forward to meeting her later today too. Mr. Speaker, can I also add my personal welcome back to Parliament to my friend and colleague, the Honourable Member for South Thanet. no one who watched his interview last night could have failed to have been in awe of his incredible resilience. Yeah. Mr. Speaker, this morning I had meetings with ministerial colleagues and others. In addition to my duties in this House, I shall have further such meetings later today.
Jen Kitchen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I too welcome the Honourable Member for South Thanet back to the House and wish him well in his duties. Can I also associate my remarks with the Prime Minister?
Labour leader Sir Keir Starmer also expressed his admiration.
We now come to the Leader of the Opposition, Keir Starmer.
I want to begin by saying a few words to the Honourable Member for Thanet South. Firstly, thank you for meeting me privately this morning with your wife and daughter so I could personally convey my best wishes to all of you. Yeah. Secondly, on some occasions, and there aren't many, this House genuinely comes together as one, and we do so today to pay tribute to your courage and determination in not only coming through an awful ordeal, but by being here today with us in this chamber. And thirdly, I want to acknowledge your deep sense of service. I think politics is about service. And resuming your duties as an MP, being here today, shows us it's an example for all of us of your deep sense of service. And we thank you for it.
Staying with Thanet News, and the Kent Online podcast has been told a reopened Manston Airport could eventually create as many as 10,000 jobs. It comes after a legal challenge aimed at stopping the site from being turned into a cargo hub was thrown out by the Court of Appeal. It means work on developing the land can get underway. North Thanet MP Sir Roger Gale has campaigned for it to happen for years.
I, and I think all of those who have supported Manston Airport since its closure, are absolutely delighted that at last we have a resolution to the legal processes. The Secretary of State granted a development consent order that was challenged and challenged and challenged. As a result, there's been a considerable delay. But please God, this is now the final hurdle, and we really can move forward, clear the airfield, put the bulldozers in, get the work done that needs to be done, rebuild all the buildings that need to be rebuilt, and reopen the airfield as a state-of-the-art, absolutely wonderful, brand spanking new, net zero carbon airport. That's what East Kent wants and needs.
Because that is something that Miss Dawes, who challenged the airport, says that it makes no sense to have a airport with a worsening climate crisis. Do you agree with that? Do you think that Miss Dawes had any reasonable grounds for wanting the airport to stay closed, or do you think that this will be a net benefit for Thanet and for the surrounding environment?
There are a number of people, a very few people, who've moved down from London, bought houses under the flight path to the airport, knowing full well that there's been an airfield at Manston for more than a century, and then started complaining because they didn't believe that planes would ever land there again. The overwhelming majority of people in East Kent, as demonstrated in parliamentary elections, in county council elections, and in local government elections, have made it absolutely plain that they want Manston to reopen. It will reopen first as a freight airfield, and then subsequently, when it's on a sound financial footing, as a passenger airfield again. That's what we want. It'll create a huge number of jobs. It'll attract an investment on a scale that has never, ever been seen before in East Kent. What's to say no? What's to not like about all of that?
So what do you think your constituents will make of the decision? What do you think will be the reaction today?
I don't think. I know, because of the support that Manston has received since the airfield closed and all the online comments that have been printed since the result of the court case was announced earlier today, that overwhelmingly people want it. Of course there are gainsayers. Of course there are people who say, oh, well, it won't work. But it will work because there's a completely new business model and a massive amount of investment that didn't go in before in order to make sure that when we reopen the airport, it is state of the art, it is net zero carbon. It is a place that people will want to fly into and from. And it will be good for the county, and it will be good for Britain.
Flights could take off from the hub as soon as 2027.
Kent Online News.
There are calls for a long-term solution for traffic problems in Kent as Operation Brock is due to come into force again. The M20 will be closed between Maidstone and Ashford tonight so the contraflow system can be deployed ahead of the bank holiday in half term. Some MPs say it's being brought in too often during school holidays to cope with high passenger numbers at Dover and Folkestone. Roger Goff is leader of Kent County Council.
I think we'd all say that Operation Brock is not an ideal solution, but it is an important way very often of addressing pressures and potential pressures. And to some extent, my challenge back to anyone who raises that question is, what under particular circumstances is the alternative? Until we get to a point where we actually have lasting solutions, which is something we have pushed for over many, many years and continue to do so, then under those circumstances, how would we otherwise see the situation managed and contained? Now, there's often been difficult judgments made about when Brock is deployed. There have been occasions in the past when a decision was made not to deploy it, and that was, I think many of us saw as very welcome, and then that had to be adjusted when a particular set of crises emerged. Very often we know that the whole situation in and around Dover, but then spilling over rapidly into other parts of the county, can become very, very vulnerable very, very quickly. We saw that with P&O a couple of years ago. We've seen it when there have been occasions when there's not been the presence from the PAF. You could have a whole range of other factors on either side of the channel. So it remains a point of severe vulnerability, and Brock is a way of managing that. And that's a judgment that Kent Resilience Forum seeks to make. But it is, I don't think any of us pretend it is something that is or should be a normal part of life, because we know that the impact that that can have on residents in many parts of East Kent. The challenge is, until we have a situation where we get that lasting resolution that we at Kent County Council and many others have been pushing for over the years and reduce that particular point of vulnerability, then often the room for manoeuvre is quite limited once you get to a point of real pressure.
It comes as the Kent Online podcast has been told 20 million drivers will take to the roads this bank holiday. The AA reckons Sunday will be the busiest day, with routes to the coast set to be especially busy. Drivers are being urged to make sure their cars have enough fuel or charge for journeys.
Kent Online News.
Head to Kent Online to see what an abandoned concert hall in Ramsgate could look like if it's turned into an 89-bed hotel. The Westcliff Hall has been derelict for 20 years, but it's due to be auctioned off next week. The building's been given a guide price of £325,000. We're told there's already some interest. It comes with a warning, though, that any future planning application will have to address in detail the impact of any new building on its conservation area surroundings. Heritage watchdogs in the town are also cautioning against any development that would destroy the views, including from the historic Spencer Square. Controversial plans to build flats on a car park in Sittingbourne Town Centre look to be given the go-ahead. The development in Cockleshell Walk would include three blocks with 51 apartments in total. Neighbours have raised concerns about privacy and parking. A final decision will be made at a meeting tomorrow. A date has been set for Medway bosses to consider an application to redevelop part of Chatham Docks. Council will meet on May 30th, just 3 weeks after an earlier hearing for the application was deferred due to a legal challenge. Even if the scheme is approved, it can't go ahead until Levelling Up Minister Michael Gove gives it the green light. A wedding dress shop in Herne Bay is being forced to close after the landlord decided to sell up. Bell's Brides Bridal Studio has been open on William Street for more than a decade. The owners tried to buy the building but says she couldn't afford it. A plan aimed at making Tunbridge and Morling a safer place to live and work will be discussed by council bosses later. It focuses on six key areas, including antisocial behaviour, domestic abuse and violence against women and girls. They'll also review projects over the last 12 months, including using mobile CCTV to gather evidence from problem areas. And the Ambulance Trust that covers Kent is teaming up with four others in a new collaboration to try and improve levels of care for patients. They're all based in the south of England and will be working to support each other and share best practice. We're told the group is being formed against the backdrop of a challenging operational and financial environment, with issues including rising demand, as well as recruitment and retention of staff.
Kent Online Sports.
Football Now and Gillingham goalkeeper Glenn Morris says the side will definitely be pushing for promotion next season. The 40-year-old has signed a new one-year contract at Priestfield. He was one of two out-of-contract players given the chance to stay under new boss Mark Bonner. Glenn has been speaking on the club's website.
Delighted. You know, obviously, it's a bit of a no-brainer, really. Just you're happy to get it done before I can go away on holiday and switch off a little bit and get ready for pre-season in July.
Seems to have quite a strong affinity with this club. Of course, you've got that sense of familiarity with Jay Turner and Dell. You've got quite a close-knit group there.
Yeah, great goalkeeper union. Obviously, you know, Tate signed his new deal as well, so you know, it's a good group. And yeah, I'm looking forward to working again, like with Dell and Jake and Tate, and you know, pushing each other and working in a close-knit environment. And yeah, just really looking forward to next season.
Of course, new manager's walked through the door. Mark Bonner's in place for the new season. I'm not sure if you've had a chance to speak to him yet. I'm sure you will do that fairly soon.
Yeah, no, looking forward to it. You know, obviously, it's a clean slate for everyone, like I said. And, you know, I've known Mark before when I was at Southend. He was a youth coach there. So, you know, it'd be nice to see him and meet him again. And, you know, looking forward to seeing how he works.
Reflected on the season just gone, we felt just shy of the playoffs. Obviously, there was a change mid-season. What was the main overriding collective emotion amongst the players with regards to that campaign?
Obviously, you know, from where we come from the year before, it is an improvement. But, yeah, obviously, a little bit disappointed that we didn't push on and get over the line for, you know, playoffs at least. But, you know, that's football. It's, you know, it's difficult. It's a competitive league. And, you know, it's gonna take everything to try and do that again next year. You know, it's not easy. But, you know, it's a great group and they're all looking forward to trying to push and kick on again.
And a 13-year-old girl from Tunbridge has become the youngest member of the British swimming squad for this year's Summer Paralympics. Iona Winifred will compete in the 100-metre breaststroke in Paris. She's in the S7 classification for physical impairment and is currently ranked world number one in her event. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.